and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Most people look forward to Friday because for many of us it's the end of the working week. It's the day we get paid, if the firm is still solvent, and as we hurry to catch the 5:30, we know the train is taking us home to a weekend of rest and relaxation. Unfortunately, Friday is also the day that can finish your beautiful weekend before it even starts. It's the day your wife suddenly develops a heavy cold and has to retire to bed, leaving you with a straight 48 hours of cooking, scrubbing, cleaning, and babysitting. It's the day when a week of glorious sunshine comes to a dead halt and the monsoon season sets in. It's also the day when the boss gives you that folder to glance through at home if you have a minute, which means you're going to be working like the clappers until well after midnight on Sunday. Even in the Navy, Friday can be the day that heralds a distinctly dodgy weekend, as Captain Povey is about to find out.
Well, then, Jason, I'm off home now. I've lost 5 minutes Friday again. Another week gone. My word, how time flies.
Really, sir? Oh, I suppose it does as you get older.
Older? I am only 39.
Mm. What I meant was, sir, you still look 39 in spite of your age.
Oh, that's better. That's
awesome. I mean, sir, you'll always be 39 to me, no matter how long ago it was. I think I'll change the subject.
I think you'd better.
Are you doing anything nice this weekend, sir?
Yes, Renchason, I am. Saturday morning I am playing football. In the afternoon I am refereeing a hockey match. Sunday morning I shall be playing tennis. And in the afternoon there's a cross-country ramble.
Good gracious, where do you do all this?
With the youth club.
I didn't know you were a youth club leader, sir.
I'm not, but my dear wife Ramona is.
I see.
Well, if there's nothing else, Frenchason, good night.
Good night, sir. Oh, just a minute, sir. Hello, Captain Purvis's office? Yes, he is. You just caught him.
Blast.
It's somebody from Whitehall, sir. He wants to speak to the sailor chappy in charge of the boats.
Good. Oh, very well, I'll take it. Captain Purvis speaking.
Hello, Whitehall here. Fuzzy's office. Dorps speaking.
Fuzzy's office?
Yes, Foreign Undersecretary's office, Elmer.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Dorps?
No, you've got it all wrong. Orby Kettlewell is the name. I am the Dorps to the Fuzz, you see. Dorps, Deputy Assistant Under Private Secretary.
To the Fuzz?
Foreign Undersecretary, exactly. Now then, about these boat things of yours, I want one.
You want a boat thing?
Yes, that's the idea. Now, how do we book them? By the hour?
What are you talking about?
Well, we need it for the whole weekend, actually. Now, what's your rate? First 50 miles free and then sixpence a mile, or do you do unlimited miles?
Mr. Kettlewell, the Royal Navy does not run its ships on the self-drive hire principle.
Oh, I boobed, have I?
Yes, Mr. Kettlewell, you have, enormously.
Oh, sorry, old man. But the fact remains that Fuzz has instructed me to lay on one of your boat things to take a VIP to a TSRV.
Translation, please?
Oh, sorry again. A very important person to a top-secret rendezvous.
I see. Well, who is it, and where's he got to go to, and where?
Oh, I can't tell you that, old man. That's top-secret. My instructions are that you are to have a frigate standing by at 1900 hours to take the Willoughby Todd under Brown to a top-level meeting with one of the Iron Curtain lot in the North Sea.
Forgive me for asking, but if it's as top-secret as that, why have you just told me all this over an open phone?
What? Oh, Lord, that's another one of my boobs. Oh, yeah. Well, never mind. Just keep it to yourself and get it all laid on, will you? The VIP is on his way down to you now. He'll tell you all about it. Cheerio, old man. Have a nice weekend.
Oh, dear, I had a feeling something like this would happen. Frenchason, whose duty ship this weekend?
HMS Troutbridge, sir.
I had a feeling that would happen, too. Isn't there any other frigate available?
No, sir.
I see. If there isn't a major international incident by Monday, I shall be very surprised.
Steady at that, Chief.
Steady at that, whatever that's supposed to take us. And don't ask me where that is, because Pertwee hasn't been told that, and it's about time Pertwee was. It is, sir.
Oh, don't stop harping, Chief. We don't know where we're supposed to be going either. We're travelling under sealed orders.
Then why don't I nip down below, run a kettle on, and steam them open so we can have a quick butcher's, sir?
You can't do that, Chief. That would be cheating. Besides, I rather enjoy not knowing where I'm going.
Look, with respect, sir, I'd hardly have thought that was much of a novelty for you, sir.
Well, really, in any case, our VIP's got sealed orders, so you can't get at them, so there.
Oh, be quiet, the pair of you. I won't stand for any more of this bickering on the bridge.
Bit tetchy today, aren't we, sir?
No, I'm not tetchy.
You are, you know. You're very tetchy.
But what if I am? Who wouldn't be tetchy? I didn't sleep very well last night. And I know I'm not going to sleep very well tonight, either. Why not, sir?
If one may ask. Without getting one's head bit knocked.
It's because our VIP passenger's taken over the captain's cabin. And the captain has had to move in with number one.
Well, is he a restless sleeper, then, sir?
Restless? It's like sharing a cabin with an elephant that's got insomnia. First he got into bed. Then he got out again.
Why?
You remember that he hadn't taken his shoes off. Then he got back into bed. And then he got out again.
Why?
You remember that he hadn't taken the rest of his clothes off either. Eventually he got into bed, and then 2 seconds later, he was up again, getting dressed.
What for?
To go down and let the cat in. So I pointed out that he wasn't at home when he got back into bed. Then he got out again.
Why this time?
Wasn't his bed, it was mine.
Well, when did he finally settle down?
He never did. He spent the rest of the night getting out of bed to tuck himself in. And every time he got in, he tucked himself out.
Yes, it could only happen to Commander Bell.
It didn't happen to Commander Bell. He happened to me.
Yes, it's very distressing, I'm sure, but not half so distressing as the complaint what Pertwee's complaining of.
All right, Chief, what is it this time?
Pertwee's about to be struck down with a vicious attack of the refrigerated plates.
Eh?
Refrigerated plates. Or as it's called by the medical profession, cold feet.
Oh, so that's it. You're in a tiz just because you don't know where we're going.
Yes, sir, I am. That Admiralty ships don't seem to realise it's a positive priority for Pertwee's personal peace of mind for Pertwee to be pre-informed as to what particular port or peninsula Pertwee's been pointed at.
Come again?
Not likely.
Look, Chief, if it'll make you feel any better, all we know is that we're heading for the North Sea. Then when we get into the middle of the North Sea, our VIP will open his sealed orders and give us further instructions.
The North Sea?
Yes.
Then could I ask you a little question, sir? If we're heading for the North Sea, why have we got a dirty great dollar of land sticking up on our starboard side, sir?
Starboard? Let me see, which side is,
on your right, sir.
Lummy, so there is. Who dropped that there?
Anyone's dropped something, I think we all know who it is. Bridge, number one speaking.
Starboard look out here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein shuts in. Bring down to half speed for a bit, will you? I mean, it's not often we're privileged to enjoy a trip along the full length of the superior coastline of Wales.
Wales? How did that happen? What's Wales doing in the North Sea? Somebody must have turned England round.
And it wouldn't have been before time, neither. You English have always kept the best bit for yourselves. But you mark my words, we'll have it all back soon once we get home rule. I thought that would worry you. And I'll tell you something else. Once our chief bard has taken over in Westminster, you'll never see it again. We'll slap on a 20-mile limit. And all the displaced English oppressors will have to sail up and down outside it and out of sight. So watch it. Well, you can.
Go see.
Well?
I've been thinking. Before your lot gets disbanded, you won't forget to recommend my advancement and get me made up to petty officer, will you? You've still just got time, if you hurry.
He gets worse, you know.
Yes, and he was ghastly to start with.
Well, it's hardly his fault this time, sir. I mean, there's an offshore wind and he's copped an ooter full of Welsh Valley Pong from the land of his fathers. So he's probably put a Tiger Bay in his tank.
Nasty. Yes, Mr. Phillips. Ooh, nasty. Rather like your navigation. How many times do you have to be told for the North Sea you turn left out of Portsmouth Harbour, not right?
Well, it's hardly my fault. They shouldn't give me a second choice.
And you shouldn't take it.
No, sir, you shouldn't. Look, now you've brought us up on the wrong side of England. We've got about 250 miles of land between us and where we want to be.
Tricky.
It is. And if you was thinking of standing off a bit, doing a full speed ahead run at it, a quick jump, I for one would like to abandon ship.
Now, that'll do, Chief. Don't put ideas into his head. Incidentally, Mr. Phillips, what do you intend to do?
Just keep going, of course. I mean, there's no sense in going back the way we came. We've just been that way, and it was wrong.
You both said so. All right, Mr. Phillips, don't fight it. We'll carry on round the north of Scotland and get to the North Sea that way. Full ahead, boat chief.
Full ahead, boat chief, sir.
Reduce speed to slow ahead, boat chief.
Slow ahead, boat chief, sir.
What are you slowing down for?
Well, by my reckoning, sir, we've come far enough, and this looks a very good place to park.
Are you sure this is the North Sea, sir?
Of course I am. You can tell by the temperature of the water. Nip downstairs and dabble your feet in it. You can test it for yourself. I have.
Eh?
Well, if it was the South Sea, it would be much warmer.
He always has an answer, hasn't he? Well, we might know a bit more in a minute. The VIP's coming up on the bridge with what looks like his sealed order.
Ah, oh, there you all are. My word, what a lovely place you've got here. Is this the driving room, then?
Well, I suppose you would call it that, Sir Wibbly Doddly Biddly... Sir Toddly Doddly Biddly...
Yeah, it's Sir Willoughby Todd Under Brown, actually, but don't fight it. I was thinking of having it changed to Fred Smith. Is this the North Sea, then?
Well, really, sir, how could you doubt it?
Oh, come off it. I have traveled with you a lot before, you know. For all I know, it could be the Indian Ocean. We've been going long enough.
The Indian Ocean? That's ridiculous. If it was the Indian Ocean, it would be full of bows and arrows and tomahawks and things. And the seagulls would all be going, ooh!
He takes things so literally, you know.
Yes, quite. Right, well, I'd better open these sealed order things. 6 to 4, they'll tell me I shouldn't be aboard this ship at all.
What, if I may be so bold, do they say, sir?
Hmm?
And hurry up and read them, because Pertwee can't stand the suspense much longer, sir.
No, hang on. It says, proceed to rendezvous with Russian frigates. Position 55 degrees, 20 minutes north, 4 degrees, 30 minutes east.
Tricky. That might take us quite some time.
No, it's all right, no panic, there's a P.S. It says, if I have the misfortune to sail aboard Troutbridge, I'm to instruct the idiots to drop anchor wherever they are and let the Russian frigate find them. It'll save time.
Well, really? How jolly unkind.
Unkind, but well thought out.
Stop engines and drop anchor, Chief.
Stop engines, drop anchor it is, sir.
Yeah, I think it's jolly unkind, too. You've stopped us right in the middle of miles and miles and miles of wet.
Oh, shut up. Well, now you've opened your sealed order, Sir Wibbly Diddly Dot the Bodlins. Me. Thank you. Now you've opened them, may we ask what this is all about?
Oh, I can't tell you that, old man. It's all top secret. I've got my official position to consider.
Yeah, naturally, sir, but what is your official position this week?
Oh, didn't you know? I'm U.S. to the Nits.
U.S. to the Nits?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, pardon, I'm joined. May we also ask...
I'm Under-Secretary to the National Industrial Trading Scheme.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
Thanks very much.
Can we know why we're rendezvousing with the Russian frigate, sir?
Well, simple. I've got to meet their U.S. to their needs.
What for?
I can't tell you that, old chap. It's an official secret. I get my orders direct from the custard.
From the custard?
Oh, you've met him, have you? Yeah, the confidential Under-Secretary Technical Advisor Research Department.
Oh, him!
Well,
who's the custard's boss, the prune?
Yes, the President Research Unilateral National Executive.
I should never have asked. You know, I don't know how they think I'm out. I'm only surprised you haven't got someone called a cauliflower.
Ah, we have. And even he can't remember what all those letters stand for.
I'm not surprised. Cauliflower. C-A-U. Chief Assistant...
You forget it.
Who did that?
Well, don't look at me.
You French? Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein chatting. One Russian frigate coming alongside, sir. And don't bother to argue with it because they've surrendered already. Can I draw hammer and sickle from the store just to be on the safe side?
Certainly not.
Peasant.
Guilty.
Well, who did that? Mr. Phillips wasn't even steering.
The Russians clanted us.
Well, really, it's not fair. When we get back, nobody's going to believe that dent isn't one of mine.
Ahoy there! Decadent capitalistic British ship!
I think he means us.
It's evidently.
Ahoy there, Mr. Russian frigate captain man. Dorovich, Yurovich, Admitovich, Yurovich, Klausidasovich. Niet, Yurovich, Klausidasovich.
Well, how could we have done it? We're at anchor.
That is your fault.
No, it isn't. It's yours.
Niet.
And niet to you, too.
And niet to you, too, back again.
And double niet back to you. And it goes to your old man, too.
Oh, well done. That's got me off to a good diplomatic start. I say, Bolshoi Billy, whatever your name is, when do you want me to come aboard your boat thing to meet your minister?
Yes, come aboard our superior boat thing. Glorious Russian frigate, top secret. Our minister will come aboard your heap.
Now, just a minute. How do you know our heap isn't top secret, too?
Who are you, Amish kidding? That load of old scrap iron has been public knowledge for years.
Fantastic. One more crack like that, and I'll shove his samovar right down his caviar hole.
Oh, nasty.
Oi, Yorich! Yorkshire pudding buns!
This time, sir, I think he means you.
Charming.
What is it, vodka chops?
Please descend across your inferior bosun's chair for the grand vaulting of our superior Soviet minister to your hip.
Do we should stop calling us that. We'll fix up the line to the bosun's chair, will you, Chief?
All taken care of, sir. I will see that Johnson's just testing it out now, sir.
Oh, good. If it'll stand his weight, it'll stand anybody's.
I'm not so sure, sir. I've just seen the superior Soviet minister.
What? Lummy, it's a woman. Do you think we should have the bosun's chair upholstered?
I don't think it matters. By the look of her, she's got plenty of her own upholstery built in.
Yes, but even so, sir, that bosun's chair is still not right for a lady.
Why not?
Well, we should have it slung side saddles on.
Shut up. Come along to Willoughby. We better get down on the deck. You'll want to welcome her aboard.
A Russian minister lady coming across now, sir.
Right. Now, don't forget, Chief, the moment her feet touch the deck, pipe her aboard.
Aye, aye, sir. The moment her feet touch the deck.
Coming aboard now, sir.
No! Decadent, clumsy, capitalistic nits.
Patrick, why aren't you piping?
It wasn't her feet that touched the deck.
Don't argue. Pipe her aboard, quick.
Aye, aye, sir.
It'll never get in the top 10.
Oh, shut up. Now then, Sir Wibbly Doddly Biddly
Bub. You mean me, yes, whoever I am.
Yes, sir. Make your welcoming speech, sir.
Oh, this is it, is it? Right, well, bags of hush all round, I'm off. Your Grace, fellow rabbits of the Bunny Club, officers, men, ladies of the press, and horse of the year. There are many of us today who doubt the possibility. But I'm a living example. Remember the old adage that you can't. And if you can, you won't. For it's an old dog that knows its own new tricks. And I'm sure his worship would agree. But there is no doubt that our feathered friends will change. And eliminate the miniskirt before it goes beyond the pale, before the wind, beside the point, over and above, by and large, the higher the fewer, and any to come to, and I'm sure his worship would agree. Now you may well ask, what has this to do with the members of our bingo club? Well, my friends, with the help of an official of the Milk Marketing Board, who wishes to remain anonymous, that we have produced the best pedigree cattle that it has been my privilege to see. And you have only to look at his worship to take my point.
What are you talking about? Don't ask me. You know, I shouldn't bother to ask him either, sir, because I'm flaming certain he doesn't know either.
How's the Russian minister taking it?
She keeps nodding her head, sir, so either she understands it or she's going to sleep.
I need hardly remind you that we have seen many fine performances on the center court. But today, the Lady Almoner has excelled herself. And I'm sure the Postmaster General will be a very proud man as he does his final lap of honor before laying the foundation stone for this magnificent. After tea and cakes in the marquee, the Right Honourable Gentleman will be engraved on the gymnasium walls, from which he will never be erased. And that goes for his worship as well. All right, well, that's it. I've finished. Your turn now, madam, unless there are any questions.
Yes, capitalistic twit. Turn me round and winch me back to my own ship.
Oh, no. Hang on. You can't do that. We haven't signed our agreement.
Niet sign. Niet agreement. Niet time.
What?
Decadent, capitalistic old heap arrived 3 days late. Now you use a blast to superior, glorious Russian time available by spouting load of old coarse wallopers.
But, madam...
And into which no word is fitting sideways. Vinch of advance, please.
No, hang on.
Intend to. Don't trust decadent capitalistic old road. Good day. Good day.
Congratulations, sir. I think you handled that jolly well.
Oh, really? Yes, well, one is trained for it, you know.
Then may one ask if one is also trained to explain how, as US for the Nets, one brought one's custard right in the custard.
No, we're not. But I've got a feeling I'm going through a crash course next time I see him.
Ah, yes, that reminds me. I've got it.
Got what?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower?
Yes. Yes, just worked out what it must stand for. Cauliflower. Controller Auxiliary. Units Legal. Industrial Farming. Landowners Overseas Working Executive Registrar.
You know, Mr. Murray, sir, he could be right.
Oh, no, he couldn't, old man. That lot went out of office in 1958.
I don't think I can stand any more. Get our bosun's chair hauled in and head back to Portsmouth, Mr. Phillips. I have a feeling we're all going to have quite a bit to explain.
Excuse me, Captain Purvis, sir. The Round Britain quiz kids have arrived.
At last, wheel them in, Manchason. I have an incredible number of jackpot questions to ask them.
Aye, aye, sir. In you go, boys. The headmaster will see you in his study now.
Thank you very much.
Hello, sir. Have a nice weekend.
Yes, Mr. Phillips, I did. Both this weekend and last weekend. And I had an interesting week in the middle as well. Trying to find out where the blue blistering places you lot were.
Yeah, well, it's quite simple, sir, you see. We got held up, sir. There were a number of obstacles in our way, sir.
Obstacles? What obstacles?
England, Scotland and Wales.
Oh, yes, yes, I knew you sailed up the wrong side of the coast on the way there. But what happened on the way back?
Oh, no, nothing, sir. We came back the same way we went. After all, sir, it's much safer to stick to the way you know.
Do you realize that through your bungling incompetence, the whole object of the mission was defeated and no agreement was signed? A major trading breakthrough with Russia has been lost.
Oh, incidentally, sir, what were we buying? Or selling?
Or exchanging?
I've no idea. Except that the article concerned was vital to the economy of our country. And now, thanks to your efforts, we shan't be able to get any. So the price will go up. As whatever they are, will be in short supply and there'll be a major financial crisis.
I see. Did we do all that?
Most certainly did.
Good morning, Captain Purvis, sir. Admiral's compliments, sir, and the doors to the fuzzies here, sir. And also wishing to see you, sir. Here he is, sir, right behind me, sir. You are here, aren't you, Mr. Kenwell?
Yes, yes, I'm here, Captain.
Well done, sir. Lovely to have walked in front of you to show you the way, sir.
Thank you. I say, haven't you got a funny voice?
Thank you, sir. It's mutual, I'm sure.
Do shut your cake hole, Franks.
Yeah, I say, sir, you pinch that from the Admiral, sir. That's what he always says, sir.
Yeah, and I certainly know why. And how do you do, Mr. Kettle? Well, very kind for you to come down for Whitehall, sir, but I'm not a bit surprised. Well, here they are. These are the three culprits.
Are they really? Well done. Glad to meet you personally.
Eh? What?
The Fuzz sends his congratulations on a mission successfully not accomplished and loused up.
It's going to happen again. I know it is.
I don't get it. Oh, well, the Fuzz would have done, old man, if that agreement had been signed, you see. Right in the back of the neck. My word, it was a narrow escape. We would have had 10 years' supply of those things pouring into the country. They'd have flooded the market, caused a glut, the price would have gone down, and there'd been a serious financial crisis.
I thought they were essential to our economy.
Oh, they are, old man. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, but after the U.S. to the Nits had been sent to buy them, the minister discovered one vital fact.
Oh, what was that?
We already make them ourselves.
Good grief, but I thought Troutbridge was incompetent.
Oh, well, there it is, you see. Congratulations all round again. I must get back to Whitehall to see how things are with my custard. Goodbye.
No, no, wait, sir, please. Look, I can't stand it anymore, sir. I've got to know. We've all got to know. What are they?
What, old man?
The things we aren't going to get after all because we've got enough already.
Hey, them. Oh, I can't tell you that, old man. Top secret and all that. But just keep your eyes open. You'll see them everywhere you go.
But what are they?
I don't know, old man. But there are an awful lot of them about. Good morning.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been Seeing Red in the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Captain Povey was played by Richard Cordicott, the Russian minister by Heather Chasen, the Russian frigate captain was Michael Bates,
Dorps was Ronnie Barker, and Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown was played by Daniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.